Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team of Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are things going?
Well, the pool's winterized.
Good. We talked about Christmas lights last week. Mm-hmm. What a great show. We've had some great guests on the last couple of weeks, but it has been feeling a little chilly out there, that's for sure.
Doing my snow dance.
Doing your snow dance. I've seen the combines out there. We got farmers taking corn down, so it's, you know, we're moving that time of year. So we also have in the studio with us Mr. Scott Ridgway of Cobalt Mortgage. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Really good. Yeah, really good.
You know, that pool thing really kind of helped us put a quasi-comedy show together this year, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
It did.
Now the dogs are running over the cover.
Okay, good. I was wondering how we were going to work that into the show,
supply of wood to throw
it. Yeah, maybe we need to bring the dogs in as guests and see how they feel about this whole program. What a good deal.
There we go. Well, we always like to start with some local news, kind of what's happening out there real estate-wise, what's happening in the community. I hope everybody saw this week. Man, they were putting pavement down on Steptoe out there.
That's moving fast.
It seems like just a few months ago we were talking about when they started moving dirt out there. So that is going to be phenomenal, especially for me, for personal selfish reasons.
Yeah, that's right by your office.
Our office.
What a plus.
I have to pull out onto Gage without a stoplight, which if you've ever tried to go the opposite direction, that is it's like Frogger out there, especially with the holidays, because that area gets hopping
from now till after
the first of the year. So we are going to have a
quick
stoplight
on the show. I'm telling you, the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update is moving.
So we got a stoplight coming out there. They continue to tear up South Richland out there on Keene for people living in those neighborhoods, Country Ridge, Brookshire out there, going to 5 lanes out there to try to ease some of the congestion.
That'd be great.
I remember when Keene was the 2-lane.
we're not going to hear an old gravel road story here, are we?
No, we won't go to the gravel road. I do not remember Keene as a gravel road, so I can't go that far.
You're going to be back when that was a 2-laner.
Yes, yeah. Back when that was a 2-laner.
Well, there's a lot of growth going on in Tri-Cities. It's really a great place to be doing business.
There is a lot of growth, and that's one reason why this week we kind of wanted to pare it back a little bit. No special guest. We're really just going to kind of dive into some numbers about that growth and kind of see what's been happening, what we're looking at, and then what this means for us. And it's always this time of year we can kind of reflect on what's happened, where things have been, and take a look at stuff. So the first thing, starting on a bigger level as we work down to which neighborhoods are selling and how much specifically, but starting on more of a macro level, I ran these numbers. I started working on these on Wednesday. So these numbers are good for this year through Wednesday. And what we have is we have in our MLS system 2,955 sales recorded in the MLS. So like we said, you know, so far we recorded in the shows. Good year. And those overall numbers now, the first thing I wanted to do is show a little bit about price ranges. What's happening, you know, out of that basically 3,000 sales, where did those come in our price ranges? Zero to 100,000, 295. So just about 10%. And quite honestly, I actually thought that number was a little low. I mean,
that surprises me a little bit.
What's great about doing this is, you know, it just helps me get a great feel, too, for, wow, I thought that would be a little bit higher. You know, I thought there was more home sales under 100,000. But not this year, not so far. Now, the next number category we go to is 100 to 200,000.
Wow.
And here's where the bulk you just really see where our market shoots in.
And that doesn't surprise me.
1,570 sales. Basically, half, basically. 53% of the market is in that range. And you know, there are a lot of great homes in the Tri-Cities for 100 to 200,000. I mean, that can get you a 3-bed, 2-bath. That can get you 4 bedrooms, 2-story. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of options you can get in that range.
Well, and that size home serves a lot of the people. I mean, that really does serve a lot of people. Investment properties, first-time home buyers. It's a great range.
Not to mention the fact that I'm sure that contractors contractors are looking at this and going, okay, let's build a bunch of homes in that price range.
Well, you bring up a great point, and that's another reason why we like to do this show. We like to do it for our builders, our contractors out there in the area that are listening, mm-hmm. and then they can look at these numbers and say, okay, that's where the market is. You know, these people know. Let's break it down. And if you have any questions about that, if you're a builder or contractor out there listening and you don't have this information, give me a call after the show. I'd love to talk to you about that, and we can help narrow those markets down. Now, then we go above 200,000, 200 to 300,000, very significant portion of the market again, 25%, 760 of those sales this year.
Now, is that your move-up buyer?
That is our move-up buyer. That is the people that have bought the three-bedroom, one-bath, or three-bedroom, two-bath starter home in the 100 to 200,000 range. They've had a couple kids, maybe, and are filled the house up full of projects, and now it's time to move, you know, to a four-bedroom or a four-bedroom and a den option. And so a lot of people move up from the first category to that category, and that's significant.
Again, not surprising, because with interest rates as low as they are, if you're going to make a move, now's a good time to do it.
Now is a great time to do that. In fact, I was talking to somebody this week, and they said, in passing, we were just talking, they said, hey, Lance, did you see my house on the market? They knew somebody else in the business. And I said, I did see it on the market. Mm-hmm. And the next sentence out of my mouth, I'm so excited for you. This is the perfect time to move up. And he looked at me kind of funny, and he goes, oh, well, we were kind of concerned about it. And I said, don't be.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. You're making a good decision. This is what we're here for.
And so it was great to, you know, reaffirm that and talk to those folks out there this week. So that's a great portion of the market. Now the numbers will probably start trending back down a little bit. But we go 300 to 400,000. 221 sales. So, you know, we dropped back down below 10% there, you know, so 221 sales there. And then we go 400 to 500,000. 76. So that's definitely getting into the high end of our market, to where the sales drop off pretty substantially. Mm-hmm. Now, there is still, I didn't even break down the categories after that. I just did 500K and up. 33 sales for the entire year. So not a lot of movement in that price range, basically a little more than two a month, you know, moving in that price range. So you'd want to think long and hard before building a bunch of spec houses to sell in that price range. Well, and some of that comes down to financing, too, requirements have tightened up and things have become a little more realistic in the banking world. It's, it's harder for people to purchase homes in that price range. And a lot of people that transfer to this area that might purchase a home in that price range, a lot of times still have a home that was like that in a bad market that they can't sell or have not sold yet. So we definitely see that market a little bit slower.
But if you were in that upper range market, if I could just ask a quick question, how are the inventory levels in that price range? So if you had a large family and you were looking for a home in the 500,000 and up range, how's the inventory and the price look in that?
Here's the thing about that that's interesting, because in that range, with what's been selling per month, we've actually been running at over a year and a half supply of homes, which, as we've talked about on the show, a 6 month supply of homes is a balanced market.
Okay, so if we're talking supply and demand, if the economics of this makes sense, if you have an oversupply of homes in that range,
now is the time.
Then you could potentially be getting a lot of house for the dollar, because prices soften when supply goes up.
You are going to get a lot of house for the dollar. In that price range, if you have thought about shopping in that price ranging, or you've been saving for a long time and decided to make that move from the 300 to that price range, there are a lot of options to look at. And if you have the solid financial background to get the financing, as you talked about with rates, even in those style of homes and loans, right now, they probably will not be this affordable much longer.
And jumbo loans are anything over $417,000. And
correct.
Cobalt Mortgage does do jumbo loans. So if any of you out there are interested in talking about that, give me a call, Scott Ridgway, 737 737- 6004, and I can get those questions answered for you.
Very good. And now, moving on to, as we make our trail down towards neighborhoods, where have these homes been selling? We know what price range they've been selling at, but physically, where have these homes been selling? So of our 3,000 sales, number one on the list, in no particular order, I have Pasco down for 789 of those sales, 26% of the market sales. And I actually thought it was going to be a little more. You know, maybe that's just because I take the kids to hockey a lot at Road 100 over there.
And you see all the growth.
It feels like it should be.
Really,
so 26% of the sales in Pasco. Kennewick is down for just over 1,000 of the sales, 33% of the sales happening in Kennewick. And then Richland coming in with some great sales numbers this year, 715 units so far sold in Richland, that's about 24% of the market. And then I did include West Richland because there's a lot of developments out there off of Bombing Range, and it's a significant a significant source of sales at 241. So 8%, but for the size that West Richland is and for what it's at, 8% is, you know, a healthy number of the whole market that they're getting in home sales out there.
You know, we really have a fourth city on the map here in Tri-Cities.
Well, yeah, the growth out there with what's been happening, I mean, there is a lot going on out there. I just sold two houses out there last month, kind of behind the New Yokes out there, and so there is a lot going on out there. So then what's interesting is I say, okay, now we see what's happening in these cities, and we're headed down towards neighborhoods. Which neighborhoods are really selling? Let's break the cities down a little bit and see, you know, how sales relate to growth and what's happening. So the obvious first choice when we look at Pasco is, as we said, what has happened in West Pasco versus Central Pasco or East Pasco? So of the 789 sales, when I break it down by neighborhood, West Pasco takes 615 of the 789.
Wow.
I didn't even bother to run the other neighborhoods.
There's the growth right there.
That tells you exactly what's been happening. But there's a lot of builders out there. There's still a lot of land, a lot of great developments out there. You have your Hayden Homes, your Viking Homes, your New Traditions. A lot of production builders out there building, and that's really driving the growth. So you can see that Pasco is still, especially West Pasco, big time on the move with our sales in Tri-Cities.
Now, we don't talk a lot about commercial, this commercial side of the business, lending and real estate, but it seems that the private sector commercially with businesses is really growing in that direction.
That's huge. We have seen a lot of businesses out there in that direction. You've seen everything from the pet emergency clinics go out there to Lord's put up their medical facility out there, tire shops.
A lot of the big franchises, big national franchises.
Really making a move that way. And when they look at these numbers, there's a reason why they're doing that. You have to
believe they do their market research, and that's where these builders are kind of paying attention to what's going on there and putting these fantastic neighborhoods in that growth cycle.
That's exactly right. So the next, Richland. Now here, I would not have predicted this. Had I not known exactly the numbers afterwards, I would have messed this up. So Richland, I kind of divided into two areas. Central and North Richland, kind of your G-Way between the bypass and the G-Way North, and then South Richland. So 715 sales in Richland. And I don't know if it's because of the commercial growth and everything. I would have assumed the bulk of those would have been in South Richland. But actually, of the sales in Richland so far this year, 332 sales in Central and North Richland. Hmm. And then South Richland at 371, pretty much an even split, 50-50.
Yeah.
But the more I think about it and go through the numbers and think about what's happened with our stimulus, what's happened with Hanford, there are some condo developments going on in North Richland and some new housing, you know, going on out there for the first time in a number of years. So all of that together really pointed to strong sales in Central and North Richland, which is great.
These low interest rates really created a lot of movement, so that was good for our economy.
And then on to Kennewick. Kennewick, I lumped together Central and East Kennewick. Of their 1,000 sales, we had about 215 Central and East, and then about 200, it was the exact same number. I don't know how this happens, but
wow.
250, I checked it three times because I thought I was messing up the statistics, but also 215 in Southeast. But here is Kennewick's growth also. Once again, Southwest and West Kennewick, 566 sales.
Wow. Wow.
So a lot of growth out there. After the break, we're going to break that down to see where those 566 sales were, which neighborhoods they were in, and then how we can use this information to help you when you get ready to prepare to put your home on the market.
Wow. We will be back with more mind-boggling stuff on News Talk 870.
All right, guys, we've probably bored half of the audience. This is probably back after the first half of statistics. But, you know, after two great guests and shows, I really just wanted to boil it down to the numbers, pricing, which neighborhoods have been selling, and where we're at as we kind of look at what's been happening this year and how we can use this data to plan for next year.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get back into some specific neighborhoods and what's happening, let's hear from Mr. Scott Ridgway at Cobalt Mortgage about what's happening with lending right now. Big shake up, lots of news. People are spending money, at least in the Treasury, it sounds like. So, before I say something that doesn't make sense or I don't understand, why don't you just tell us what's happening?
Well, we don't want to bore anybody out there, but we definitely want to keep them informed and let you guys know what's going on. So, a couple of things. G20, what does that mean to you? QE2. What does that mean to you? What do you know about it? Well, quantitative easing is this last piece that the Fed has been doing. But before we chat about that and what it's doing to interest rates, I want to just tell you guys about the changes that have occurred in the lending side of maybe being a first-time home buyer or anything that you're buying with 3.5% down payment up to a loan amount of $275,000, which really does cover the broadest range of those prices that you were saying are moving right now.
Almost 70% of our market.
Yeah. Yep. So some of the changes in FHA is FHA doesn't technically really have a minimum credit score. It's the overlays that the banks put on those guidelines, which it was a 620 FICO or credit score. They take the middle of 3 or the lower of 2 from your credit report. Well, one of the things that's changing in our industry right now is that's sliding from 620 to 640.
Gotcha.
And that's not necessarily at FHA. It's at the banks and the institutions that actually offer up the money to be able to place these loans. So that's one of the changes, and that's what they define as tightening. They're tightening down on some of these guidelines. Another change is the upfront mortgage insurance premium, and that's something that is financed into your loan for doing an FHA loan, for allowing you to do a 3.5% down type of a loan. And that's gone from a 2.25 amount of the basically 2.25% of your loan amount to 1%. So that's actually come down by more than 50%.
Wow. Okay.
So that's something that's helping more people in qualifying. But the offset that FHA has done to that is the monthly mortgage insurance premium that you pay, or monthly mortgage insurance, has gone from 0.5% to 0.9%. So it's almost doubled. So what that does is it keeps your loan amount lower, but it takes your monthly payment and raises it up, so there's an offset there. So those are just reality pieces that are happening in the market, and those are FHA loans, which are fantastic loans. Cobalt Mortgage does FHA loans all day long because it's a great loan. And if you have a question about what do you qualify for with these new guidelines in this market, give me a call, Scott Ridgway at Cobalt Mortgage. Write this number down, memorize it, 737-6004. Mm-hmm. Just give me a call. I'll get back as quickly as I can. We'll run the numbers and see what it takes to get you in Lance's car out looking at some of these homes. The second piece I want to touch on is what's happening to interest rates right now. I follow, there's a gentleman named Barry Habib, which is the Mortgage Market Guide. It's something that I've subscribed to for over a decade. And in there's a great piece that I want to read to you. It says, overall, the bond markets have been under very heavy selling pressure in the aftermath of the quantitative easing announcement, which is QE2. Mortgage bonds have fallen a whopping 143 basis points in the last, this is as of Wednesday, in the past 5 days.
Wow.
While the 10-year Treasury note has spiked 28% higher in that time frame. Okay, mortgage bonds is what you want to follow, and that's as the price on those goes up, the interest rates come down with the yields that those produce. Well, at Cobalt Mortgage, we are monitoring the mortgage-backed securities, which, as you know, home loan rates are directly based on, instead of the 10-year note. And the 10-year note is what many of our competitors out there, and a lot of times the media, often quote in reference to mortgage rates, which is not what you want to be talking about. You want to be talking about mortgage bonds. So the recent market action just shows how quickly the sentiment in the market can change. So remember, it was just a few weeks ago that bond prices were in rally mode, as fears and whispers of deflation pushed the entire bond market higher. Now with the Fed intent on avoiding deflation, and in fact creating somewhat of an inflationary temperature, the entire bond market, including mortgage bonds, is starting to fall as a result. and they may not be able to come back up anytime soon. So that means interest rates are looking to trend higher right now. So if you are in the market and you've been waiting for where's this thing going to bottom out,
right,
and you need to do something within the next month or two, or you want to try to accomplish a closing on a new home before the end of the year for tax purposes, you need to be calling myself, you need to be calling Lance right now so that you stay educated and informed on what's going on so you don't miss the boat.
Well, like we've talked about, these are record rates and quite possibly could be your best chance to get the lowest payment possible and, more importantly, save you the most amount of money over the life of that loan.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We're here to add value to you guys out there. So if you are in the market and you feel like you need to be waiting based on what your buddies are saying over the barbecue or your in-laws are telling you that they know from 30 years ago, you need to listen to the professionals and you need to stay attuned to the statistics and the things that are moving this market. And now is the time to take advantage of home prices, take advantage of interest rates, mm-hmm. and make that move to set yourself up for the long haul.
There you go. Very, very good information, and I'm glad to have Scott on the show sharing that with us because rates are complicated. Where they are going is complicated, and there's so many factors influencing it. You just really can't say one way or the other.
It's tough to tell, but you just need to, you know, be ready and
right.
be prepared. And if you've got a home to sell, you need to be talking to Lance and get that thing listed. I mean, you guys know the statistics now. Lance has got a bunch of great statistics. We try to make light of a lot of really serious stuff here just to make it a great, fun, educational, entertaining show. But the underlayment of all that is this is really important stuff that if you're in the market, we want to make sure we're helping you make the changes and the decisions now so you don't miss it.
Well, Scott, now let's put you on the spot a little bit. We're talking neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. We're talking which neighborhoods are selling and how much.
Am I going to roll the dice?
You're going to roll the dice.
Okay.
I'm going to give you
Just for fun,
okay. I'm going to give you two golf course communities.
Okay.
And you tell me which one has had the higher sales. Let's do the two with a lot of residential surrounding them. Let's do Meadow Springs and Canyon Lakes.
Oh, my goodness. And Canyon Lakes is so huge, and Meadow Springs has been around for a long time. I'm going to guess because of the locale, Canyon Lakes.
You're right.
Ding, ding,
very,
ding,
very good,
winner.
Folks. He's almost a real estate agent.
No. I don't know anything about real estate.
Okay, good. So, pretty interesting. Meadow Springs being a more established neighborhood with not as much development. However, there are some great values in there. Gross sales numbers, Scott's exactly right. Meadow Springs, 20 sales so far this year. Canyon Lakes, which has a lot of new development happening out there, 57 sales.
There's a lot of growth down
there in
South
Kennewick. There is a lot of growth out there in South Kennewick, and that location with what's happening out there, around South Kennewick with, I mean, you've got the new banks out there, you've got the new medical clinics, new restaurants, so very, very popular place to be. So let's go to some other developments in Kennewick. We have got two developments that a lot of people are choosing between right now. We've got Hanson Park versus Creekstone.
Hmm.
Now, you've got Hanson Park there in West Kennewick, and Hanson Park, 22 sales so far this year. Creekstone, 93.
Wow.
Off a tenth there?
93 off a tenth. I mean, that development has filled up to the point where they are rapidly approaching finishing that development out. So there was a couple great parade homes in Creekstone this year.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of hot neighborhood with lots of parks, lots of walking trails, master plan development, and they've really had the sales supporting it. A lot of sales.
Well, you know,
the
other thing they did there is they put in some great infrastructure with those streets, and being able to get in and out of that neighborhood is actually really well done.
It is. I mean,
people don't like getting lost.
It was. I mean. It really was one of the first major master plan developments we've had in the area in a while, and people like living there. It's really paid off. So from a different aspect, we'll go to a little higher end and compare a couple other neighborhoods that I thought would be interesting. Is you have Cottonwood Springs out by the new elementary school out there.
Mm-hmm. Badger Canyon.
Badger Canyon versus a neighborhood, say, Country Ridge in South Richland.
Well, Country Ridge has got another that new kind of portion to it, but Cottonwood Springs has been going nuts for a lot of years.
It has been.
And with the new school there and the locale, I'm going to guess Cottonwood Springs.
Cottonwood Springs, but only by one.
No.
Yeah, it was really interesting to run the two. So,
you're
doing very, very well.
We're going to keep you.
So that takes us. that takes, and the numbers were not huge in those two developments. We were looking at. at 11 sales in Cottonwood, 10 in Country Ridge. So almost identical, very, very similar. And I would have guessed like you had, but I would have thought the divide was bigger. So,
well, I'm pretty good at the guessing right now because this last week we had to take our national mortgage tests. Like I've been telling you guys about, there's a state test and a national test, and that's where the whole industry is going. And we drove to Yakima and had to take that 100-question federal national test. And so I'm in test mode right
You're
now.
You're in test. Yep,
I am in test mode, and yes, I passed. I passed with flying colors. Thank you very much.
So the last two areas and neighborhoods that I wanted to break down was I went out to, since we had so many sales in West Pasco with the lots of development, and I wanted to see what had happened west of 68 towards Road 100, and then what had happened east of 68 from 68 towards like Road 44. So it's really interesting to see because that's also a dividing line for schools now, being one going to Chiawana and then one going to Pasco High. So we've got west of 68, north of the freeway, 122 sales. Then we've got east of 68, north of the freeway, 263. I mean, they just killed it on the east side of 68. And there was a there are a lot of production builders out there. I must say, east of 68, you do have Hayden, you do have Viking, you do have New Traditions, Oasis. So there's a lot of building concentrated in development on that side of the street. So it's going to be interesting to see how it continues to go out there, where things end up. But that is the impact that we've had on sales in those neighborhoods. One reason we like to do this show, because it's very important as you determine price. We always talk about the four big ones in real estate: price, condition, location, and marketing. Okay, and price is a huge one that we start with. And what we have to do, just like we've done in the show, is we have to go from a macro level down to a micro level. And we have to look at exactly what's happening. First, can the area support the price that you're wanting for your house? What prices is the area supporting? Then what prices is the city supporting? Maybe that price would be supported in South Richland, but that price might not be supported in North Central Africa. Richland, or even in the same city. So Central Richland might be different than South Richland. So then we've got to see, okay, now will the area and the city support your price? And then from there, then we go to the neighborhood. So if anywhere along the way we start to get kicked out one way or the other, we know we have a red flag and we might need to reevaluate what's happening with this situation. Because then when we get down to the micro level of the neighborhood, we could be in a pocketed neighborhood that even in the Tri-Cities, we could be in a neighborhood that might have had two or three bank repos around the corner or in a development within a couple miles of yours. And those are the comps that appraisers are going to be using. And we might need to make the decision that you might need to wait 6 months until there's new comps. You know,
that's so true, because I believe that appraisers are looking in about a one-mile radius.
They are looking at that lower radius. And if they start to go outside of that radius, the bank is throwing the appraisals out.
Yeah, that's where you get an appraisal reviews requested.
Or a second appraisal is requested. So, you know, we might look at that activity around you and decide if you need X amount and you're okay with staying where you're at, the decision might be after we're done looking at all this that now is not the time for you to sell.
We had several repos in our neighborhood.
And so that is something that that's why we go macro to micro, and along the way, we need every indicator pointing towards the support of our final price.
Wow.
So we do that citywide. We have those stats with us. We look at those with each of our listings, and that's how we kind of go about the strategy of getting to the price that we need and looking at these neighborhoods. Plus, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of fun to know what's happening in the neighborhoods. When you're driving around, you can be aware of what's selling and if it's an area you might want to move to, especially if you're considering resale.
And so, another question, folks, ask your real estate agent if he does this kind of research.
Ask your
you know, that was the point I was just going to actually, I was going to ask it in a question, because sometimes you see people that list their houses with a different real estate company or firm or individual, and it's priced so high, and I don't know if that's just to get the listing into the deal or what, and then they sit on it for 6, 8, 9 months, and then they have this massive price reduction, maybe because somebody comes in and shows them the actual statistics, and then the house sells. Do you see that a lot?
Well, we do see that happening. I mean, there's a lot of different, you know, there's a lot of different things that can be driving that. Each situation is so unique, but a lot of times, you know, the agents that are out there actively selling, we know these numbers, you know, and so
pricing them to sell.
It's really powerful. Yeah. And so when we come in with our clients, put us on the other side of the coin where we have an obligation obligation to our buyers mm-hmm. to know this. So when we're bringing our buyers to the property, our buyers know this information. We're not going to trick anybody to mm-hmm. paying too much for a house, you know, mm-hmm. or, you know, or the seller. It's going to be difficult for a seller to do that, you know, and because they are going to have this information, especially when they're with a strong agent. And so we like to make the deal work for everybody.
So that's the difference between being in the business and being a professional in the business.
There you go. That makes a big difference. So we are running up on time, and I am headed out to a great activity. Can I do a shameless plug here?
Fire away.
Do it.
Okay, Mason and Mia, as you have heard me say, that's Mason and Mia. Those are my two kids. They both play hockey. So I am leaving the studio now, and I am headed over to the corner of Clearwater and Edison, where I will be making $5 bags of kettle corn.
There you go.
So nice. You're going to be stirring the pot.
So all proceeds go to their hockey team to support the tournaments and the ice time that the team has to buy. So
very good.
If anybody wants to stop by Edison and Clearwater from now until noon, you will see Lance Kenmore out there not selling houses but selling kettle corn. So $5 a bag. We'd love to have you guys stop by. At least give us a honk as you drive by, and I'm gonna go price my kettle corn correctly and sell it for $5.
And you can count on the fact that he's gonna tell you the truth as to what's in that bag.
And if it's not selling by 11, I might ask them to reduce the price to $4.50.
You guys go honk at Lance. Have some fun with this and support them.
Thanks so much. We appreciate all the support from the listeners, and have an enjoyable Saturday.
And we will see you back here next week with kettle corn on News Talk 870.